Hello, everyone. This is Blake Ruby from San Antonio, Texas. I'm the author of The Gray Brain and the Golden Soul. It's available in the Amazon Kindle bookstore. And it's a book about spiritual matters. When it comes to spiritual riches, how rich are you? Are you a millionaire? What are your spiritual riches like? How much do you know? That is what is most important in life. Everything else is not important. All that is important, and you'll find this out when you die and go to heaven, hopefully, is that how much did you develop spiritually? How much did you evolve? And my book and my show is all about spiritual matters. There's nothing negative, and there's no negativity in my message. It's all about what I've learned from other people. And some of what I believe myself. You know, my reality system was pieced together like a jigsaw puzzle that I've learned throughout the years, one book after another, conversations I've had with people, dreams that I've had, introspection, thinking about what's out there, seeking God, if you will, the creator of the universe. And we're living in a world that is going through a lot of trouble, right? I think everyone will agree with that. And love is the answer. Have you seen all that's going on with the politics and the president? It's sad, really. We should all be loving each other, you know, saying good things about each other. We should adore each other, but we don't. And let me tell you why. One thing is because you don't realize the power of your words. If you realize just how powerful words are, and I've learned this, and I'm still learning, then you would be very careful what you say. And I hear this back and forth about Mr. Trump. And granted, you know, he's not a perfect president, if you will. What if he were to die tomorrow? You know, when you get up in age, and I'm being realistic here, it could happen any time. How would you feel about that if he did die? If you think that, I mean, if it's something negative, you're wrong. You know you are. Because it's happened to me many times. And I'm sure it's happened to you. When someone close passes away, I really don't want to go down this way, but in fact, I won't. My point is we should try to love people more. All this back and forth, this negativity, attacking each other, fighting fire with fire. It's not going to work out. It's a dead-end situation, if you know what I mean. And we should be praying for each other. I mean, what's wrong? What's wrong with you? Why are you doing this, saying these bad things about people? Why can't you love people? What's going on? I mean, there's no future in negativity or in hate. You don't want the world to be destroyed, do you? Well, you have to do, we have to do our part to say the right things, think the right things. And I'm doing my part, I believe. And so with my show, I'm going to address these difficult issues like the one I just did. I mean, now it's time to move on to another subject. My point is, we should all be loving each other. We're human beings. And take, like, the transgender issue. Now, I know now I work for the Army, and we just had to go through some training for transgender training. A little minute video, you know, that talks about these people treating them like human beings. But the fact is, that these people haven't been treated very well over the years. The same with gay people. You know what? All these all those people, I think they're cool. I like them. They are born that way, right? And they have their own life to live. So I guess the bottom line is they're born that way, and they're human beings on their soul journey. And we should love them too. But too often, I see people who intimidate, who harass these people. They're caught up in a generational curse passed on from their ancestors who were very bigoted, and maybe understandably so, back 200, 300 and more years ago, maybe even more recent than that. Our ancestors, you know, our grandfather's grandfather, I mean, way back, they had difficult times. I mean, the bottom line for them was just to survive, right? And think of how far we've come since then, how much we've evolved to now we're living in a society with all these technological neat things, if you will. And it's the golden age. I think you heard that before, you know, in songs and otherwise. It is, these are the golden times, maybe the end of times. And if they are the end of times, then perhaps my show or my book is even more relevant, because if you knew you were going to die tomorrow, what would you do differently? Or if you knew like an asteroid was coming and you had a week to live, I guarantee you, myself and everyone else would be jamming, learning all this stuff about what's going to happen when we die. What's heaven like? Will I make it to the good place instead of going to the bad place? And there's so many books out there, and these people that have these near-death experiences, it changes their life. And maybe there's a few of them who aren't the real thing. You know, they're just trying to get fame and fortune. They're not going to understand that. But, you know, like, heaven is for real. And I've covered this ground before in previous shows. I'm kind of ready to move on here, but, you know, for the sake of saying what I want to say and then finish with that, heaven is for real. You know, that little boy, he had that near-death experience. I think most people know about that book and then the movie that came out. And a three, four-year-old boy doesn't make that stuff up. So I consider that good evidence, rational, logical evidence. But some people, they don't. And my goal is to reach out to everybody, believers, the non-believers. And I think anyone that's listening to this radio show and listens to BBS Radio is, for the most part, a believer. You know, there's a lot of great subjects on the radio, on this radio station, and they deal with psychic mediumship and UFOs and angels and all good things to make the world a better place, right? So anyway, going back to transgender people, I saw some on TV the other day. They're cool people. And you know what? If you came face to face with an extraterrestrial, for example, and you've heard about the stereotypical type, you know, like the Greys maybe, and Close Encounters of the Third Kind, how would you treat them? I mean, first of all, you know that those beings are extremely intelligent. They're spaceships. Are capable of traveling light speed and going interdimensional. So, I mean, it might just blow you away with their presence, you know, their intelligence. And that's what happens to some people. They're just left totally speechless. And they're, you know, their eyes are caught in like the 100-yard stare, you know, like the deer in the headlights. Headlights in the deer, if you know what I mean. Look, you know, that 1,000 miles there, because they weren't thinking about that kind of thing before. You see all these negative movies out there about extraterrestrials. Why don't they do a movie on real people who have had true life stories? You know why? Because that really scares them. The fact that somebody may have been abducted, or somebody was, you know, had a ride on a spaceship, went to another planet. They can't handle the truth. That's just it. They can't handle the truth. And there's a book called The Abduction to the Ninth Planet. Abduction to the Ninth Planet. Did you get that? It is my favorite book. It's like a Bible to me. Anyway, let me read a little bit of that book to you, because it's got some really neat knowledge in it. The author is so funny. He is a humorous, intelligent author, and he claims that he was abducted by this race of extraterrestrials from a planet in our Milky Way galaxy that is one of the three most technologically and spiritually advanced. They are hermaphrodite. Hey, kind of like transgender. You know, I don't know exactly how they reproduce, but they're about 9 feet tall. They've been interacting with Earth for thousands of years. The statues on Easter Island were made in their image many thousands of years ago. And I'm going to talk about it here when I read this a little bit from the book. 17,000 years ago. Can you think back that far? Some people might not be able to imagine all those years ago. But they say, our scientists say that Earth is 4 billion years old. I don't believe that. I think it's approximately 1.3 to 1.5 million years old. But anyway, 17,000 years ago, there was a continent in the Pacific Ocean, which is known as Lemuria, or Mu, M-U. And it was a very advanced civilization. The people that lived there, they had some technology that we don't know about. They had the capability to use electromagnetic anti-gravity devices, probably given to them from extraterrestrials. Anyway, I'll talk about that in just a minute or so, but so, why doesn't Hollywood make movies about real life stories, true stories on extraterrestrials? Instead, they feed us this negative stuff about extraterrestrials, and they look all the same, and they've got the same attitude, and negative, they want to kill us. Hey, any logical, rational person who prides himself on their intelligence should know that if they wanted to destroy us, they would have done so many, many years ago. Certainly before our generation. So wake up. Hey, wake up. They're out there. The universe is teeming with life. We have a creator of bodies. Think of all the insects here on Earth. There are over a million little bodies with eyes, some with wings, little metabolisms. Mankind and all of its technological splendor couldn't even make one little insect, and there's millions of them. And we've seen movies about Frankenstein, you know, getting something, creating life. When it comes to how far we could be, when it comes to creating life, and we can do it. It's true. There are books on it. We can utilize powers from the cosmos. We can create life. We can create human beings. We could. The people from this planet, these extraterrestrials, know how to create human bodies and put that spirit, that astral body in them. That's who Jesus was. Let me take a drink of water. So, please, if you haven't done so already, read this book, Abduction to the Ninth Planet. At the best, you'll glean a lot of knowledge on spiritual matters, God and the universe, And at the very worst, you can think, it's just another science fiction book. I know I gave it to my supervisor, a Vietnam veteran, a good man, 70 years old now. He just retired and left. I worked with him for years. A great man. Saw combat in Vietnam, you know, toughened. I've seen a lot of bad stuff, you know, in this world. Can you imagine, you know, a combat veteran from Vietnam? You know, they've seen a lot of stuff, got into a lot of fights, seen people killed, killed the enemy themselves. You know, I mean, the enemy, what am I saying? They killed a lot of Vietnamese people. And that's war. That's no joke, you know. I mean, people die all the time. We don't want to die, right? We want to live. So we need to stop war, right? Because if it was your life, it was going to be taken away. You wouldn't want that, would you? But someone else's, that's okay, right? No, it doesn't work that way. So anyway, this book, Abduction to the Ninth Planet, also known as the Tioubba, that's the name of the planet, T-H-I-A-O-O-U-B-A, Tioubba. Everyone say it, Tioubba. Very good. Prophecy. A planet out there that is the highest on the evolutionary scale. Our planet, also known as the planet of sorrows, is the lowest on the scale. So they've been helping us throughout the years, and other planets throughout our solar system, our Milky Way galaxy. And there's one planet I mentioned on a previous show called Arimo X3. Isn't that a cool name? Sure, that guy didn't just make it up. Arimo X3. They got into a nuclear holocaust, and now they're paying the penalty. They couldn't get along. Somebody said the wrong thing. The button was pushed. The weapons were thrown back and forth, exploding everywhere. They lost their cool. They couldn't keep their temper. They couldn't resolve their differences diplomatically. So what happened? The whole planet's vegetation was wiped out, the animal life. The only life that was left was the life in the oceans. You listening? The fish. It was radioactive. They ate the radioactive fish in order to survive, right, for protein. And the birth defects started happening, and they happened over the years, centuries, and they're still recovering from that, apparently. The book was written in 1987. The author was taken to that planet just to show him, what could happen to us. It's very possible. Everybody has a bomb, just like in the song by Prince, 1999. Everybody has a bomb. Some people are trying to get the bomb. North Korea, Iran. So what about you? What are you doing to help make the world a better place? I think we need to try to love each other more. So, Mr. Trump, for example, I love him. I think he's so funny, and he does these tweets. You know, he kind of fights fire with fire, but he's a good man. If you don't like him, you're fooling yourself. I'm sorry to say this, because in your spirit and soul, you know that we're all the same. We sleep at nighttime, we go to dream world, and we play around, we get to meet people. I've had some strange dreams, I'll tell you. I just took a train ride up to Chicago from San Antonio with my wife in June. We went up to visit her sister and her brother, and the Saturday night we were there, we saw Frankie Beverly in the Maze. How many people have heard of him? He's awesome. He's 7 years old. He's still performing. The band is excellent. The music just wonderful. And we had seats 2 rows from the stage. So we took a train ride there and back. Oh, my God. We had a little roomette. But 30 hours up there and 32 on the way back, that train was rocking and rolling. The conductor was on the horn all the time. Fortunately, we had some earplugs, so it wasn't too bad. The meals were included. That's kind of neat about Amtrak. But let me recommend, make a suggestion, if you ever travel by Amtrak, and it's fun because you get to see stuff that you don't see driving a car, you know, on the highways. you see lots and lots of fields and water, you know, lakes, rivers, a lot of vegetation, beautiful land everywhere, flowers, just constantly, you know, just beautiful, beautiful land. Stuff that you don't really notice too much when you're in the car, but you're concentrating on driving, right? Anyway, so my recommendation is get the room with the bathroom. We had to share a bathroom down the hall. And it's a little more expensive. But look for, the prices change all the time. So if you're going to be traveling at a particular time, see if you might be flexible and change your dates and try to get a less expensive price for the room. Anyway, so let's drink the water. Now, I forget where I was going with that. Anyway, maybe I'll think about it just a few seconds. But getting back to the book, Abduction to the Ninth Planet. Well, I was talking about Mr. Trump. Anyway, love each other. There's no future in hate, no future in negativity. These politicians that are out there and on TV, not so much the politicians, but the news stations, and they have a responsibility to say the right things, but understand how they're under the direction of their leadership, you know, to say only certain things. And CNN, for example, might be leaning more towards the Democratic side, and Fox News, the Republican side. But, you know, it's one thing after another. Trump does something, you know, he tweets something. And I say, why does he tweet? You know, well, that's what he likes doing. Before he ran for president, he was a billionaire businessman. That's the way he conducted business. So he doesn't want to do anything different. People make him angry, so he retaliates. How about you? When people make you angry, do you retaliate? Well, he's that kind of guy. He's got $1 billion in his banking account. He doesn't care too much about what people think, right? You wouldn't either if you had $1 billion. Am I correct? But just honor the man. Honor his life, please. You might not agree, but be intelligent about it. Say some cool things like, for example, well, I don't agree with that. I think, you know, he should have done this. That would be better for the country. The will of the people is more important. But perhaps, maybe he didn't get a lot of sleep last night. And certainly must be under a lot of fire for some of the things he says. Maybe he should take a vacation, you know. Go to a beach somewhere, relax, enjoy life. Then come back and recharge, after having recharged his batteries, and tackle those big problems that the president faces every day, you know. We don't want to see him lose his health. He's a good man. We should, you know, we're all brothers and sisters in spirit. So please, try to say good things. Because, you know what the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And everything that was created with the Word. That's how we create. So with your words, you can either create or destroy. What do you choose? Moving on, about the book. And I'm learning myself, you know. I might be a little bit hypocritical sometimes. I see movies. You can see some negative stuff on television, can't you? Yes, you can. And I'm to blame. But I like watching TV as a way of relaxing. Sometimes there's nothing else to choose. You know what I mean? Last night I watched a movie that is one of my favorites, Castaway, with Tom Hanks. He's one of my favorite actors, so I like to think what I would do in a situation like that. If I was on an island somewhere in the Pacific, you know, and I had to survive like Robinson Crusoe, I know it'd be kind of tough, but it seems kind of interesting, enticing, if you know what I mean, you know, to see if, what it would be like. Imagine that, being by yourself. And then, you know, not having any fire, being having to make fire to cook your food, you know, get keep warm at night sometimes, build a shelter. Anyway, so let me read to you from this book. It's just a fantastic book. I love it. I think you'd like it too. You would love it too. So, more info on Thayuba. Thayuba Prophecy by Michael Desmarquette. That's his name. A very funny, intelligent author. Even if it was science fiction, it's not, in my opinion. Contains a wealth of information regarding the mysteries of this planet, the origins of mankind, and the secrets of the soul. Above all else, it contains a strong message to the future of humanity. It's become an international bestseller, but it's hard to find. So, just scrolling down here. I gotta click up here. Soul Secrets about that. I'm gonna click on Mysteries Explained. Okay, who is God? In scientific terms, God could be described as a huge electronic mass in the center of the universe. Quite simply, He, if we can refer to God as that, and God is both male and female. If you didn't know that, well, wake up. It's filled with countless electrons. Are you listening? One of the key components that make up atoms, the building blocks of life. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say that in a negative way. And as it says in the Bible, God made us in His own image. That's true. It's true. And so our soul comprises 4 billion trillion electrons. Each electron within you has the capacity to memorize all of the knowledge stored within a major library. Woo! Electrons have a lifespan of 10 billion trillion Earth years. Their purpose is to record all of our life experiences from the cradle to the grave in both this lifetime and all past and future incarnations. Wow. Electrons represent the foundation of the astral body. They allow our soul to not only remember all that has happened to it since the beginning of time, but also to learn from these experiences and to evolve to higher categories. Like I was saying, past civilizations on Earth. Take a drink of water. I will take a drink of water. And as I said, human life began on Earth more than 1.3 million years ago when it was colonized by black and yellow races of people from the planet of Becca Turini from the constellation Centaur. They sent vessels to Mars and Earth after they discovered their own planet was cooling down internally and would be uninhabitable within 500 years. Probably true, right? One of the most advanced Earth races, both technologically and spiritually, existed around 14,500 years ago on the continent of Mu. Larger than Australia, the continent was situated in the northern hemisphere in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean. It was attached to Europe and linked to America and Africa by land bridges. All that is left today of this great landmass is Easter Island. Hey, that's what I was telling you about, those statues, the giant statues of Easter Island. A tribute to an advanced interstellar race. Hey, they're out there. You know why they're not interacting with us? Let me tell you before I go on. Because people don't think about it. That during the course of the day, how often do you think about extraterrestrials? Except for watching the negative movies that Hollywood puts out. It's so sad, really. They're not doing our civilization any favors by putting all this negativity out, especially the action movies. I mean, who are they fooling? When the real thing happens, oh, gee whiz, from fantasy to reality. From fantasy to reality all of a sudden. I mean, it's okay to watch people getting blown away and killed. And like in John Wick 2, yeah, I'm sorry to say, I'll watch that movie. I like Keanu Reeves, and my wife does too. I don't know if I wouldn't have watched it, if I would have watched it, if my wife didn't want to watch it. But 116 men he killed during that movie. Now, if 116 people have been killed in a real-life incident in somewhere in the world, God forbid here in the United States, now, wouldn't that be different? I mean, and then we're trying to develop ourselves, evolve. Is that the way to do it? I mean, do you see any advantage in watching a movie like that? as far as making the world better, a better place? I don't think so. I mean, obviously money is behind this. Hollywood is just concerned about making millions of dollars in movies, and they're putting all this stuff out, and we're taking it in like sheep being led to the slaughter. Hollywood needs to make more movies about real life stories. That's the future. That is our future, my friends. Anyway, so much of today's, going back to the book, much of today's spiritual and material knowledge originated from the people of Mu. How about that? 17,000 years ago, they explored the Mediterranean via the north of Africa, where they met Arabs, descendants of the crossbreeding between yellow and black Bakaterians, and developed a numerical script which is still used by the Arabs. They went to Greece, where they founded a small colony, and the Greek alphabet corresponds almost exactly to that of Mu. They also traveled to a land that natives called Aranka, Egypt, where they established a colony and developed laws embodying the beliefs of Mu and the organizational principles of Atlantis. The Great Pyramid was constructed on the same model as the Pyramid of Savanasu on Mu. Yes, it was a huge pyramid in the continent of Mu. Using the secrets of anti-gravitation for Mu, and the secrets of cutting rock using electro-ultrasounds. As our ancient forefathers did, we should all look within us to unlock the mysteries of life. Humanity exists physically for the sole purpose of developing spiritually. That's like I told you, like I said. We're here to develop spiritually. Every day, we need to develop spiritually. Listening to BBS Radio and all the shows, my show, reading my book and other books like that, and listening to people, good people, who say good things, that is developing yourself spiritually. No matter how much we defend our current beliefs, doctrines, and traditions, nothing can change the truth and the order established in the universe. Yes, we're part of the universe. We're like a drop of water in the ocean of the universe. Our little planet, and it is so round, isn't it? I was looking at the sun the other day, up in the sky, driving to work down the freeway, going 65, 70 miles an hour. Can you relate? Looking up in the sky, the clouds were getting in the way of the sun, and the sun was like peeking in and out. It occurred to me the sun is so round, it's so beautifully round. Well, that is the spirit world, my friends. That is where we came from, and that is where we're going to return someday. This is true, because if you don't believe that, then you don't realize that you have a spirit inside your body. And when you sleep at night, that spirit leaves. That's just one example of the spirit. But when you die, you're going to realize, if you don't think about it much, it's going to be a surprise to you. And if you pride yourself on your intelligence, you don't want to, on that day, no one knows, God knows, in the future, when we all die, and you leave your body and look back at that physical, like a coat, if you will, that you just shed, and you're going to think to yourself, why didn't I know that? Oh, I could have been learning more about that when I was on Earth, spending my time to look, to read, find out more about my inner nature. That's really more important than anything else. But we get so caught up, I understand, we get caught up with our jobs. We get caught up with raising children, making money. Yeah, money, that's probably the root of all that. But I don't see a change from the present monetary system anytime in the near future. So, and you know, there's a lot of billionaires that are kind of ruling the world, and they don't want us to know the truth. They just want to continue making money. So there is a revolution kind of going on. It's been happening for quite a while. I heard a song today. I went to Gold's Gym and I did Zumba with my wife, and people are finally saying, you know, I've had enough of that stuff. I've had enough of government trying to tell me how I can think, what I can do. I've had enough of politicians not really following the Constitution. Oh, by the way, happy 4th of July weekend, everybody. The Declaration of Independence, when it was written in 1776, I just got a thing that says restart required. I guess I've read enough of the book, so do a restart. So our founding fathers, all men of God, we've taken God out of so many things, haven't we? School, you know, in government places. That is against what our founding fathers envisioned for the United States of America. And we need to put God back into everything, my friends. There's nothing greater, nothing more interesting, no more noble a pursuit than to seek God. Nothing is more intelligent to do than to seek God. Because at the end of the day, when you lie yourself down to go to sleep, and you don't know whether you're going to wake up again in the morning, because God is in control and could make a decision to, just like that song, Dream On. Sing with me, sing for the years, sing for the laughs, and sing for the tears. Sing with me, it's just for today, maybe tomorrow, the good Lord could take you away. Yeah, well, it's true. God can, no matter who you are, a believer, non-believer, no matter your gender, whether you're transgender, gay, male, female, boy, girl, man, woman, no matter where you are in government, no matter how much money you have, but God says, it's your time. There's nothing you can do about it. So, it behooves you to develop spiritually. Behooves all of us. I'm doing it. Let me continue talking on some subjects, because you know when I planned my show, and I've got a show every 2 weeks now, if I was making a little bit more money, I could do one every week. I was doing that before, but I have a higher priority. I'm making good money, but anyway, I think when it comes to riches, I'm a billionaire. I really believe so. And I think there's some people out there that only have like a pocket full of change when it comes to spiritual matters. You know what I mean? Now, I worry about you. I can think about you. And like the smokers out there, people that smoke cigarettes. My parents used to smoke. I did too. So I can't judge people. But can I say this? My mother died at 81. She could have lived to be older, I think. She also drank. But she smoked every day. My dad did too. He died at 81. In fact, Dad had a stroke on the 3rd of July, 1999. But I'm worried. You know, I see people smoking. And then part of me says, I don't want to say anything. I want to leave them alone. Try not to judge them. But is that the loving thing to do? Do you really care for somebody? And I think they want us to care for them. We should care for them. I've seen commercials on television, you know, about birth defects recently. So my mother died of a tumor in her lung. That was the cause of death, I think. And I was with her the last few days of her life. Well, not all the time. I was going back and forth from Ohio to Florida. She died in the hospice in Florida. And my dad, and I grew up in a secondhand smoke environment. So, you know, if I see people smoking on the street, I'll walk around them. I don't like to smell it. And perhaps, and I can tell they don't understand that. But let me, if I may, give a message to anyone out there that's listening to my voice and who's a smoker. I don't want to judge you, but you shouldn't really do that to yourself. And I know why. One of the reasons is, And I care, you know. I want to love you. And I want to show you love. And I will. I'll continue to do that and pray for you. But a lot of the people that do that, they're under a generational curse. It's something that's been passed on from one generation to the other. And they need to break the curse. They can stop. They need to do it because they know it's wrong. You know, when you're hurting your body, the body is the temple of the soul. And, you know, it's healthy. It's not healthy to smoke. And those people that could be doing, you know, exercise, walking, running, Zumba, going dancing. But I don't want to judge them. But at the same time, I want to tell them, please, I care for you. I don't want to see, you know, shave 10, 15, 20 years off your life. That's against God's will. So I'll continue to love you. Understand that, but stop. You know, I stopped drinking in 1988, and I had a generational curse of my parents that was passed on to me, and I broke it. That generational curse that goes on throughout the years, many, many years back, hundreds of years, abuse of alcohol, smoking, you know, you can do it. I'll pray for you. That God help all the people that have these vices that need to break that generational curse, that are under this addiction. Anyway, so another thing too, when I was up in Indiana, we saw that concert. I saw a lot of people throw trash on the ground. I saw some adults the night before that they were having like this little baseball game out on the hotel's land. The next day I went back out there, you know, when I was running around, walking, and I saw this trash on the ground. And here you had some adults out there with the children, you know. I've been in the Army, and they taught me discipline. And when you know, if there's something on the ground, if you put it on the ground, either intentionally or unintentionally, you pick it up. So you adults out there, you should know better. Teach the children to pick up after themselves. This planet is ours, you know. We need to treat it in a good way. I know I'm guilty of polluting the atmosphere with my car. And I wish I could afford, I know that's a poor excuse, an electric car. And maybe, you know, they'll become more affordable in the future. But the planet, and you'll have to, in my opinion, on that day of judgment, even something as simple as not picking up trash that you put on, that you threw out the window of the car, or just leave on the ground, you'll be held accountable for that. Yes, you will. So be smart. Come on. Don't litter our planet. Let's make the world a better place, please. So, moving on. And, you know, the extraterrestrials out there, they're out there. Let me say this to them. And maybe they're listening. There might be some extraterrestrial listening to the BBS radio show. You know, they might do that. Because in the book, The Contact Has Begun, the author's name is Philip Kraft. He was an editor on the Metro desk for the LA Times. He claims he was abducted and taken aboard a spaceship for 3 days by this race of extraterrestrials called the Verdants. And he stayed in a room for 3 days. He said it was like a Holiday Inn, but they used to bring him food and all the food they can make, like in Star Trek. Anything that you can imagine, like a sizzling steak with mushrooms, maybe a banana cream pie, or sausage, or cornflakes with sugar. All that food is made from vegetable matter. It has just the right amount of calories and nutrition for the body without the fat and extra sugar, you know. That's what they're able to do. But anyway, so he had a TV in his room, and he went to take a shower, and he came out. One of the extraterrestrials was watching Law and Order on television, and so I think they listen to us, you know, the radio, especially internet radio, maybe, you know, regular radio channels. But isn't that cool? So if they're out there, hey, we need your help, please. You know, you were going to come and help us before 9/11 when you found out that, you know, these human beings are so crazy. They're killing each other. They flew an airplane into a building and killed 5,000 people. Well, are these people going to destroy themselves? Yeah, they're Arab, but they're still human beings. And so these human beings, we took a chance. We were going to have contact with them. We were going to have a summit. And they're probably going to destroy themselves. We're going to just hang around and see if it happens. I mean, 9/11, that was something that changed their minds as far as saving us. You know, we were going to be inducted into the Intergalactic Federation of Sovereign Planets. But no, those people had to go and fly those airplanes into the World Trade Center. You know, and that airplane, the one that went into the Pentagon, and Flight 93, I think it was, you know, some countryside in, I forget, Pennsylvania, was it? So they changed their opinions about us. Before, we were kind of borderline anyway because of all the years of war we've had in our past. And they kind of labeled us as a ferocious race. Yeah, you know, our ancestors have been very ferocious, right? But now we want to make the world a better place, don't we, people? Yeah. We don't want any more war and hundreds of people, millions of people getting killed like in World War II. Not so long ago, huh? Just a little outside my lifetime. So make the world a better place, please. Do the right thing. Say the right thing. Love our president. Love everybody. So, you know what? Nowadays, it's not too often when we get some good news, right? Everything's usually bad news. Why can't we get good news more often? More often, you know? It's like on when the author of the Abduction to the Ninth Planet said when he was among them, and these extraterrestrials, 9 feet tall, hermaphrodite, male and female, and he said their eyes were so light, and the intelligence was just beaming from their faces. He said it seemed like they received excellent news every second. Now imagine that. Wouldn't that be great? I mean, think of the good times. Think of the times that you've had excellent news in your life, like maybe you won the lottery or, you know, payday or, you know, you're going to go and see a game or something like that. You know, some good news. I mean, you go, yeah, all right, you know, but nowadays, how often does that happen? Not very often. You turn on the television, you know, you watch some of these news networks, and it's like, that news, you know, people getting killed, and, you know, this and that, and that's not good news. We need more good news, don't we, people? Yeah, we need more excellent news. So, my wife told me that NASA had discovered these new planets. Yeah, they're out there. They're being discovered all the time. And planets that can keep life like here on Earth, that, you know, can house life like here on Earth, they're out there. Let me tell you, by the hundreds and thousands. Yes, because the universe, my friends, is a very, very big place. And sooner or later, we're going to find out that we're not alone. And that's going to change everything. That is going to change everything in a huge, huge way. It's going to be a 180-degree turn for our planet. When they can prove that there's life out there, I tell you, you might say, oh, it won't make that much of a difference. Yes, it will. Yes, it will. You know, I wrote another note down here about age. You know, we shouldn't tell our ages. Who cares, really, how old you are? You know, women don't like to say how old they are. They got the right idea. You know what I'm saying? I agree with women who don't tell their ages. You don't need to know. You know, what difference does it make if I'm 30, 50? I hear people tell me all the time, hey, you look pretty good for your age. Oh, yeah? Well, I don't remember what it was like when I was 20 years younger. I don't know. Maybe it's because I'm a vegan. You know, I've been eating only vegan food since 1999. Maybe that's why I can develop myself spiritually more. Anyway, no, I won't say that. So moving on. Okay, well, forgive me if I offended you with that. You can eat what you want. God knows what you're doing. And You know, there's no doubt about the food that we eat nowadays can grow the body. And so God is in control, and if he provides us food, and I know that back in the old days, you know, pioneers, when they lived off the land, they needed to shoot deer, whatever, birds to survive. Our ancestors, you know, that's ingrained in our DNA. So I accept that. I don't judge people. My wife eats everything. My son eats everything. But I'm a vegan. And one of the reasons is because I donated one of my kidneys to my son back in 1995. And so I didn't always treat myself well when I was younger. You know, I used to drink. But that was only a period of time, and I eventually gave it up, like I said. But now I'm treating myself well. What's that song by the Eagles? You know, I don't understand why don't treat yourself. We did some damage. I know it's true. I didn't know I was so lonely till I found you. Who is gonna make it? We'll find out in the long run. Yeah, you know what? My name's Blake, Blake Ruby, and I was thinking about calling myself Acapella Blake because I'm a very accomplished singer, but I really like acapella singing, and I'm going in that route now. I don't like doing karaoke too much anymore, although we're going to go out. I think my wife took the dogs out a little while ago, and we're going to, when she gets back, because the power went off, like I was telling Doug at CBS, at 6:30 tonight in our time, Central Standard Time. In other words, 4:30 your time, our power went out all around the community here in this area. And so she took the dogs out. When she comes back, we were going to go to the Gateway Club on Lackland to do some karaoke tonight. And I think that's all right, but I've been practicing karaoke here at home, and I don't want to do that anymore. I like doing things at my home pace, but I go to the Wounded Warriors once a month, too, and I think for them. I've been doing that for almost 4 years now, and I think about an hour and a half. I usually have done that. Sometimes an hour, but most times an hour and a half. And I've got a repertoire of songs. I've got a lot of songs by the Eagles, Beatles, John Denver, many, many different artists, Led Zeppelin, the Young Rascals, cool songs, Leonard Skinner, you know, I know Free Bird, Simple Man, Sweet Home Alabama, in other words. Gun down, no problem. Anyway, so I'm running out of time here, ladies and gentlemen, and I'm going to say a prayer. Dear Creator of the universe, Master, how great you are. Nothing compares to you. God, the whole universe is held into existence by the might of your power. Not only are planets rotating, revolving, with their gravity, but other solar systems and other galaxies, how powerful you are, God. And we take it for granted, just like the sunshine every day. It happens like clockwork, without fail. Thank you, God. Thank you for the miracles of all creation, for the life here on Earth, and the life that exists here is so abundant. I know you are a wonderful creator of bodies, and you can do anything. So with all this life here on Earth, I know that you created life elsewhere. That is the logical, intelligent thing to think, God. Thank you. You are a wonderful creator, and I know what you look like, too. The creator, you're the creator of my soul and spirit. I see you like maybe 20 feet tall, a spirit, beautifully proportioned with muscles, robe, hair flowing, a beard. Beautiful, loving, authoritative eyes, capable of doing great things. And so please bless us. Bless everyone, all your children here on earth. God, Creator, we love you. Thank you for loving us. You are so great, wonderful, magnificent, awesome. Please guide us. Help the world to survive. Please. Please bless our leaders. Help them. Thank you. My friends, I'll talk to you 2 weeks from today. God willing, take care of yourselves. I love you. May God bless you. Bye-bye.